Welcome to the Uplifters Podcast, where we talk to inspiring women who are doing big, brave things, despite having the same doubts and fears and worries that we all have. Today, I am super excited to talk to someone I've known for many, many years. We started working together at Weight Watchers circa 2008. My dear friend Alex Streed went off to work on Elevest, building this amazing company from the ground up, becoming their chief product officer, then went on to an incredible mental health company called Cerebral, and now has started the company I longed for so deeply right around the time I met her. It's called Poppins, and I'll let her tell you about it. But if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that the hardest time of my life was that time of becoming a mom and figuring out how to have a personal, creative, professional life, be in a relationship with my husband, be a human in the world, be happy and raise children and not feel bad about myself all the time for the choices I was making. As I read what Alex was doing, I was like, that was the uplifter I needed in my life. And so I'm really, really excited to bring her on to share the work she's doing, but also the journey there. So Alex, thank you so much for being here. It's just such a joy to see your face on the other side of the screen.
Thanks, Aransas. I'm so glad to be here. And it is such a pleasure to see you as well after all of these years. Aransas and I used to sit across from each other at Weight Watchers. I remember you pregnant, actually, with your two girls. So it's just really, truly amazing.
At the time you and I sat across from each other was right as I was leaving for maternity leave for my first baby. I remember working through my first contractions, and I literally walked off with a post-it with my timed contractions sitting on my desk, walked downstairs at 11 Madison and tried to hail a cab. And I
think you literally started having a baby right in front of me. That's basically what happened. Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. That's real. And now here you are, also a mom of two girls.
I am a mom of a 7-year-old Juliet and a 5-year-old Isla, who's starting kindergarten this year.
Oh my gosh, it's so wild. And now I have one about to go into her sophomore year and one about to go into her senior year. It really puts it in perspective, thinking about these timelines. And so much has changed, I imagine, for you, not just professionally, but personally over these years. And it's been way too long since we talked. So this feels really, really special. I would say catch me up, but we probably don't have time for the full details. As much as I want to hear them all, that'll be on the 2-hour special. But let's start with Poppins, actually. What led you to want to start this company at this time in your life?
My last job, I was at Cerebral, like you had mentioned, as the chief product officer. And it was an incredibly demanding job. And so both my partner, Scott, and myself were working, you know, around the clock hours. And I was just like, there has to be a better way. And we were lucky enough to have, you know, full-time nanny support, but it still was a lot. And I had this idea brewing for a couple months. And I was like, gosh, if I just had this service in my life would be so much better. And I'll tell you a little bit about Poppins in just a second. But like the aha moment for me that it was absolutely time to leave Cerebral and go and start this company was when the former Surgeon General came out and said that parent stress is a public health crisis, which was in, you know, August of 2024. And he cited a survey from the American Psychological Association, which stated that 48% of parents say that their stress is completely overwhelming compared to 26% of other adults. And he was basically saying, wake up, people. We have to do something about this. And I was like, okay, this is my wake-up call. It's time to leave. And I was very, very fortunate because my co-founder, Jen Shane, also was an executive at Cerebral. And I was telling her about this idea. And she's like, I love it. I want to go do it with you. I'm super, super excited. And so in January of 2025, we left and went out and started Poppins.
Wow. And it's clear you saw a big problem to solve. And like I said, I feel so deeply that need and that stress was just so overwhelming. Which service did you believe you were going to provide based on your own experience?
There's definitely no shortage of parenting advice out there. You can find 45 webinars. You can flip through Instagram and find a ton of influencers. But I didn't feel like anyone was really solving the problem comprehensively with evidence-based data.
Mm-hmm.
Poppins, it's a parenting platform that offers 24/7 pediatric care via text. So you can submit photos, videos, audio recordings, and a nurse practitioner will diagnose, treat, and prescribe accordingly. But we also have the parent coaching side, which really helps with behavioral issues, routines, and making sure everyone is sleeping well. Behavioral and medical are actually so related. And everything that I was finding out there was like, well, if you have this problem, you have to go over here. And if you have that problem, you have to go over here. And it really forced parents to have to cobble together their own solutions. And I was just like, there has to be a better, easier, faster way to service parents.
Yeah, it feels like there's just not enough time to do the things you want to do for your child's well-being and for your own well-being.
Exactly. And that's actually something that we're able to help with at Poppins. So I'll give you an example of my own use of Poppins. One of my children was struggling a little bit with going to the bathroom, and Poppins was really able to, you know, help with some routines around bathroom time. But after a while, nothing was really sticking that she recommended I talk to a nurse practitioner. And I did, and they recommended that I go and get a bladder scan. But instead of just leaving me to go and figure that out, they provided me with three pediatric urologists that were able to take my insurance, and I could pick the one that was best for me and schedule that appointment. So it was just really nice to see all of that come together.
That's a great example, because those are the sort of things too that can fall really behind between the cracks and cause a lifetime of issues. And whether it's just the stress on the parent or the stress on the child or the self-beliefs that are formed in the process of that. And so to approach it in this methodical, holistic way, where it's like, let's talk about the coaching and the behavioral and the routine side of it. And then let's talk about the medical side of it. And let's just look at it as a way to collect learning and get a bunch of data and then make a data-led decision takes a lot of the judgment off of it, which I think is probably the most exhausting part of being a new parent in my experience. And I work with so many moms who are, especially, you know, in those first years, there's so much uncertainty and there's so many messages coming at you. And most of them only take into account like common practices for kids, but they don't take into account the needs of the parent and all the stress that we're under.
That's exactly right. I mean, everything is so focused on the kid, but it's actually the parents. We are the ones that need to change our behavior for the better so that we can better ourselves, but then also help our families. My entire career has really been focused on helping people change their behavior for the better, even starting at our early days at Weight Watchers.
Yeah.
I remember we worked with BJ Fogg, who was a behavior scientist out of Stanford. Yeah. And, you know, his whole thing was just, you know, floss one tooth. And the idea was like really starting small to then see some like really big changes happening in your life. And so like we get that parents are so busy. There's actually a stat out there that says parents today are spending more time with their kids than stay-at-home moms did in the 70s. And so parents, they want to be there, they want to care for their kids, but they're also doing it on top of full-time jobs and you know, managing schedules, like they don't have the time. And so they can work with the parent coach to really find these like small, small tweaks in their routine to make big, big changes. And that's really, I think, what Poppins is all about is we know you're busy. We don't want to create more work for you. We just want to help you solve these micro problems so that you can go back to loving being a parent and you know, spending time with your kids on the things that you all really like doing and not spending the times on the things that you don't like doing.
Yeah, or that you are spinning your wheels on because yes. You don't know what to do.
Right. If I were to go through my Instagram feed, I mean, there is just so much advice out there. And quite frankly, a lot of it even contradicts itself, right? Mm-hmm. Do you breastfeed? Do you not breastfeed? Will someone judge me for breastfeeding or not breastfeeding?
Yeah.
It's a lot. And parents today have to deal with that where previous generations did not. And so Poppins really is a place that you can come. There's no judgment. We help all kinds of parents. We have parents who want to co-sleep with their kids. And then we have parents who are like, I'm never co-sleeping with my kid. I don't want to even breastfeed them. And it's all okay. It's all okay because everyone is different and we're all doing the best that we can.
That is, to me, the most exciting piece of this. And if I think back to what would have been the most valuable to me as a mom, it would have been take care of you as well as you take care of the kid. Because I was so focused on following the rules and doing what was right that I basically starved myself and made myself crazy to breastfeed for the full year mark without ever giving a drop of formula, which was, looking back, I'm like, oh, you poor baby. I'm sorry for you. And I'm sorry if I said anything mean to you during those years, because I was destroying myself physically trying to follow the rules of being a new mom. And I have no idea how I even did it. I would drop my daughter off at the Chelsea Preschool of America by our office. Then I would jog to the office, work, go to that little stupid cubicle, pump while on a conference call, go to lunch, run to the daycare, nurse, run back, go back to work, pump. I mean, it was madness.
Yeah, it's too much.
And if somebody had just been like, honey, you don't have to do all that, it would have helped.
You're not alone in that. That's what we hear from like thousands of parents.
That's the world we live in.
Too. It's the world that we live in. And it has to change. It really does.
So this has been a big shift for you, I imagine, in terms of what your life looks like. You know, you were talking about sleepless nights, working around the clock. I can't imagine that slows down when you go from CPO to founder.
So it does not. My days look a little bit different. I'm not running from meeting to meeting. A lot of it in the early days of a startup is, you know, deep thinking and really trying to get your offering off the ground. But I did have to make, you know, some economic decisions. We decided that we were no longer going to have a nanny full time. And now that it's summer, the kids are in camp, but I'm in an office today. I have to leave and make sure I pick them up on time. So there's definitely choices that we had to make. My partner, he's got to do a little bit more around the house too, because we just don't have that paid help that we, you know, had when we were both working full-time executive jobs. But that's okay. Like it's, you know, I think it's worth it. I believe that I'm doing great work and things will change.
Take me back to the early days of that decision. So you're talking to your colleague, you're like, this is not where I want to be right now. I have this vision. I want to build something. So then as you and your partner thought about this, what were some of the conversations you were having that helped you decide to take that leap?
So Cerebral is a telehealth mental health company. And we learned a lot there because you have to have your medical license. It's a state-by-state approach. We are doing something very similar at Poppins where we have to go state by state as well. And so I feel like we were able to take a lot of like the learnings of like what worked from Cerebral and what didn't work, which was great because I actually felt really confident in leaving it with the decision because I'm like, oh my gosh, we learned so much here. I can now remove all the stuff that didn't work and just focus now on the stuff that works. Of course, we have new issues, but I felt really, really confident in the decision because I'm like, oh, we know how to do this. We know how to do it in a really smart way. My co-founder and I were able to set up a medical practice within 90 days, which is a really short amount of time and, you know, something we're both really, really proud of. And then we were able to find a team that was truly amazing. And we knew exactly what we were looking for because we've worked with a ton of nurse practitioners at Cerebral. And so a lot of that, I think, was just like things I learned in my past that I was able to say, like, okay, now I'm just going to like make this my own in a space where I see a major gap.
I love that. What was the most intimidating factor for you in making this change?
Well, I think there are good days and there are bad days. But I look at everything now as like a challenge. And it's just sort of like, okay, we just kind of have to like get through this moment and like keep our eye on the bigger picture, the horizon. There's just, we're building a business for the long term. I one day could see Poppins having physical locations. We have a big, big plan. And so I can't let like a couple of bad days in a row impact where we want to take this business. And so that's just always good to remember is it's a challenge. Like it's never like, oh, this is a bad day. It's just like, yeah, this is the situation. Here are the ways that we can get through it. Like, let's make a list on how we can solve the problem and then go from there.
Yeah. What's coming through for me as I listen to you is this sense of belief. And you believe this will work.
I do.
And I actually think that's something a lot of people really struggle with, right? We get so focused on the what if this doesn't work question that we limit our ability to use the challenges as steps toward growth.
Yeah. So Jen and I have been pitching quite a few investors. And one of the questions that I always ask up front is, how many of you in here are parents? And there was one group that I was pitching where not one person raised their hand. And I was like, ooh, this is going to be a really tough pitch because none of them have any idea what it's like. I used to think you like go on maternity leave, have a baby and come back and you're like exactly the same as you were. And you just like hop back into work, no problem. Like, you know, like getting a puppy or something. And it's just not. And so sometimes when we go in and you have VCs say, oh, this isn't a great idea, or I just don't know how big of a problem it is. It can be, you know, it can make you feel not great.
Yeah.
And I think you just have to kind of remember and try to tell yourself, this is something that folks need. You know, it's something that folks need. You see the research, you're talking to people, you know it better than anyone, you're living it. And you kind of have to let those naysayers go and step to the side and continue to focus and put yourself around people that understand what you're doing and help make connections to other people who get what you're doing and go from there.
As I listen to you, I'm trying to translate this into something universal that we can all use as we go after our big dreams. And I think the takeaway for us might be to give ourselves a compelling body of evidence. And so, yes, if you're going to pitch investors, you need a compelling body of evidence that convinces them. But the first person you really need to convince is you. And if you're not convinced, then either find a different problem to solve or work on that body of evidence for yourself.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, sometimes folks can say, gosh, like, I believe in this problem. I'm just like afraid to fail. But you have to ask yourself, like, why am I afraid to fail? Is it because my friends are going to like think poorly of me, or like my past coworkers are? I'm going to have to like update my LinkedIn with, sorry, we went out of business message. All of those things are very possible. But what's the worst that's going to happen? They think of that for 1 second and then they continue on in their feed. I don't know. But you kind of have to get out of your head of like, okay, if I fail, like my life's over. No, you started a business. You're going to be able to go find something else to do afterwards. It'll be okay. So I think if you get the failure piece out of your head and just like really focus on like what you're doing and why you're doing it and helping others, that can make a really big difference.
I think it makes a huge difference. Our thoughts become our realities. And if we are pouring all of our energy into the things that slow us down, then the fear wins. Instead of acknowledging the fear and saying, yeah, it's understandable, I'm going to have those worries. And what do I really want to put my energy into? I want to put my energy into building the solution, into living a meaningful life and having an impactful career.
100%.
You have worked with a lot of powerhouse leaders in your time. So what is some of the best advice you've gotten on going after your dreams and goals and taking care of yourself along the way?
Well, in terms of taking care of yourself along the way, I mean, there's a saying that you hear on, you know, pretty much every flight, like, put your own oxygen mask on before assisting others. And so I think it's really finding that space to do it. And so whether that's going to yoga a couple of times a week or taking a longer walk home from the train or whatever those things are, that's incredibly important. I can tell you that some of like my best ideas come from exercising or working out or walks, not when I'm sitting in front of a computer. So I think it's giving you that space. A lot of the advice that I've gotten, it's not who you are on paper, but it's truly how hard you're working and how much energy you put into something. So I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I, you know, didn't work at McKinsey or Bain or any of those places, but I've always had really great work ethic and have been able to see things through. And I think that that is important. Like Aransas, I remember when you and I were working on the Weight Watchers innovations every year, and Points Plus was the year that like we went international, we changed everything around. The Weight Watchers stock went up to like $80-something and like—
Oh, the glory days.
The glory days. And I was, you know, I was 25 years old and I feel like I learned so much at that point, and that those experiences stuck with me over the years.
A lot of us think, oh, well, I don't have all the right credentials. And so what you're saying is, maybe that matters less than investment of your energy and engaging in solving the problem. But it also means taking care of yourself along the way. So I'm glad you said those two hand in hand, because I think a lot of us can tend toward solving that problem by overworking and staying so head down that we can't even see the real problems we're trying to solve.
Right. It has to be a balance.
What's one of the hardest things you've ever had to do in your career?
I don't know if I can name just one. When we were talking a little bit about Elevest, and when I was leaving Weight Watchers, I was there at Weight Watchers for 8 years. I loved what we were doing, but I think it was just time to find something else. And a LinkedIn recruiter had reached out to me and said, there's this job in finance. And I was like, what? I was like, finance? I don't have any experience in finance. Like, are you sure you wrote the right person? But he's like, no, but you have women in behavior change experience. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to go work in the finance industry now with zero experience, working for, he described it as two very high up people in finance. So I was very intimidated, I think, at first. And it was a startup. So like the company didn't even have a name yet. And I was like, okay, pick me, sign me up. We'll see how it goes. But that was like very, very nerve-wracking at the time. I didn't have kids yet, but it was still like, what am I doing? And then also choosing the job at Cerebral. Cerebral really became, I think, like a household name during the pandemic when mental health was just, everyone's just skyrocketed. And they were one of the first to bring it into people's homes with telehealth. But it was one of those startups that grew too quickly. And then they really needed a team to come in and like help make the unit economics right. And so I was tasked with like a really big job. The first thing I had to do was like right size the team. And so within 6 weeks, I had to, you know, say goodbye to half of my team. And I didn't even feel like I knew everybody yet. And so like making those decisions were really tough, but I knew I was getting into that. So that one was a hard one, but I'm so glad I did it, because I think it's really like what ended up leading me to Poppins. And, you know, I worked with some of the smartest people I've ever worked with at Cerebral.
One of the things that I remember about you and that I hear reflected in these stories is the sense that you go into intimidating situations. And instead of retreating, you go further in. And somehow you manage to, despite, I'm sure, what worries and fears you might feel, you don't walk away from the problem or quietly fade into the background. You step forward and really engage. And so I'm curious what you say to yourself when you feel intimidated or scared to get yourself to go deeper.
Yeah. So I don't go deeper alone. I surround myself with people. For example, with Cerebral, when they were like, you have to, you know, say goodbye to 50% of your team, it was about 25 people or so. I wanted to have as many conversations with folks as possible. I wanted to understand what our metrics needed to be, what our vision needed to be, like how we should set up our teams. And so I feel like I did that with like other leaders and other team members. And so I think that's really important. Leaders who come in and they're, you know, just like make decisions without talking to anyone. I don't see how that can be successful because you don't have the full picture. And I think that happens a lot, actually. So the reason why I think I feel more comfortable going in is I have the mindset of I'm not going to go in alone. I'm going to go in and I'm going to learn as much as I can. I'm going to go on my listening tour and then we're going to make some big changes fast.
Yeah. So it really is this theme of collecting data in order to confidently move forward.
That's a beautiful way of saying it. Yes.
Yeah. And I think you're right. There is both a masculine model of leadership, which is sort of in, I've already been there. I know everything. I'm going to come in and have all the answers and you'll thank me later. And then there is this, and I don't mean this to be gendered, but I do think it is a more feminine approach.
There's a little gender, yeah.
There's some gendering. There's also a lot of history. And it's also about ego and fear. And I've watched women do it too. And I've watched many women leaders in my career walk in and ask a bunch of questions, but quietly be closing their ears because they already know the answer. And so actually what I think you're doing is something very special that we can all learn from, whether it's in our relationships, our parenting, our work, listening deeply and really allowing the insights, the collective wisdom in, but then not letting it get in the way of our own intuition either, right? To say, okay, I'm going to take it all in and then I'm going to sort it and synthesize it. And then I'll feel confident making decisive and confident action.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of times, I think when you're an executive and you come in, they're expecting to see big changes really quickly. And I do think you can still move quickly and make big changes, but you can go about it in a completely different way.
You talked about raising financial capital to fund Poppins. I talk a lot about how we all understand that we have to raise financial capital to fund our dreams, whatever they may be, whether it's a company or anything else. And at the same time, I believe that underpinning that is what I call courage capital.
I like that.
And so it is sort of the self-belief. And I don't know anything about finance either, but I say that it needs compounding interest, right? Like you need to build courage capital that continues grow on its own and cultivate within your practices. And so what helps you build courage capital when you've had those rough days?
Yeah. So actually, I'll talk about a pitch I had to do 2 weeks ago. I only had 3 minutes for the pitch. And so I wanted to make sure I could get in everything I wanted to say in that amount of time. And I practiced like crazy. And I didn't want to read off of, you know, anything. I wanted to really know it because then I also wanted to have the energy and be lively and be able to use hand motions and do all these things. I did spend a lot of time on that. Like that was important to me. And I'm not going to lie, before I had the meeting, I was in the bathroom, power pose, like doing jumping jacks.
Thank you, Amy Cuddy.
Really rev it up here. Yeah. But I mean, you kind of have to have that adrenaline going in. That's your courage. So yeah, I do all those silly things.
I mean, they work.
They work. Yeah. Or at least I feel better going into it.
Yeah. Well, and you actually speak to a few different things in there, right? Again, it's being really prepared so that you can go off the cuff. In theater, we used to talk about that as learn your lines so you can forget them.
Yeah.
So that, right, you're not regurgitating, but you can be fully alive and know that you're bringing it all. But then it's also setting yourself up for success, body, mind, spirit, to feel confident and to just be your best. And that's a lot of what you're doing for us as parents at Poppins. So it feels very full circle that you're taking care of yourself in the same way. So one of my favorite things about this show is that every guest nominates the next guest. So who would you like to nominate out of your amazing circle of inspiring women in your life to join us on the Uplifters?
Yes, I feel like there's so many people I could nominate. So my friend Hillary Manger, she is fantastic. She started her own HR recruiting business and it's doing phenomenally. And I look up to her. She's in a breakfast group that I'm part of. And I just thought it was amazing how she just decided to go out and start something on her own. And like that kind of gave me a little bit of courage too, to go out and start something. So I think she's great. She's a force. Haley Barna, who's a partner at First Round Capital, but also like co-founder of Birchbox. I think she's great. She's just, you know, someone I really lean on for advice and is super insightful. And then I would say Emily Green over at Elevest, who leads their private wealth team. Elevest just went through a really big transition where they sold their digital business to Betterment. And the private wealth business stayed intact and is growing like crazy. And they just invest in like some really awesome things. Like the alternatives will be focused with a diaper company in Peru, you know, like they just like find these like really interesting, you know, businesses to support. And so I think that's good. Like they're doing a ton of great stuff for women.
Wow. Those all sound really amazing. What a network. And I think I talk a lot in Courage Capital about how we have to have a network that helps us create that Courage Capital value too. And I'm hearing that in your answer, that you just have all these people who help boost your courage, your confidence, and your ability to keep dreaming even bigger as you create big new things. So this is the Uplifters podcast. We are people who love to lift up other uplifters. Mm-hmm. So how can we as a community support you with your goals right now?
Well, if you're a parent, check out our site at heypoppins.com. Follow us on Instagram and let us know what topics are interesting to you so that we can learn from you. We're an evidence-based, data-driven company. And so the more families we have coming to our site and going through our experience is really great and helpful, because we're going to be able to then, you know, multiply it and really help a lot more families out there.
It's awesome. Even if you're not a parent, you can send this to
even if
the
you're
parents
not
there,
you
send know. It to, yeah. Your sister who's losing her shit right now.
Yeah.
She needs this. It's really great to see you again, Alex.
It's
I am cheering you on and just so excited to see what you do with this. I see your big vision. I see the retail spaces already. I'm so into it. I'm so grateful.
Thank you. It's so great seeing you, Aransas. This was awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Uplifters podcast. If you're getting a boost from these episodes, please share them with the uplifters in your life and then join us in conversation over at theuplifterspodcast.com. Head over to Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast and like, follow, and rate our show. It'll really help us connect with more uplifters and it'll ensure you never miss one of these beautiful stories. Mwah! Big love.
Water sunshine with rosemary and thyme, dwell in the perplexing though you find it vexing. Toss a star and hover, be your own best lover, relish in a new prime, plant a tree in springtime. dance with idle hindsight, bring the sun to twilight, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up. Lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up, whoa, lift you up.
Beautiful.
I cried.
It's that little thing you did with your voice.
Right, in the pre-chorus, right?
I was like...
Mommy, stop crying. You're disturbing the peace.